Hey, you're listening to Burst Your Bubble. I'm Josh, and I've got Kyler and Cole here with me tonight. We're here to bring you the sharpest sports takes. Today, we have a fun episode where I have to bail quickly on the boys. We break down game one of the NBA Finals, and we learn that Cole is not a good loser when the parlays do not hit. Everyone is obsessed with fantasy football, even MLB players. And we hit some actual football highlights and some news going on around the league. Remember to stay plugged into our social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Burst Your Bubble. We are available everywhere you can get us to your podcast. If you're bored at home, just say, Alexa, play Burst Your Bubble podcast. Then remember to rate, review, share with your friends, your family, the lady at Starbucks, the guy at McDonald's, all your neighbors. Tell them about Burst Your Bubble. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, no hard feelings, because more than likely, one of us will burst your bubble.
June 3rd, my favorite sports league championship to watch. That's, of course, a biased opinion. You know, there's the Super Bowl, there's the national championship, all sorts of things that, I mean, a lot of people put on top. You know, the NCAA March Madness, things like that. The NBA Finals, man, it does it for me.
It's always a good time with the finals, especially when you got two good teams and you know it's not going to be just a one-sided affair. Whenever you get one of those that you're – the team that – happen to stumble in there is just not ready or primed, and you know they're about to get ran through, then it's not as fun. But since we got two good ones,
it was like the Miami Heat against the Lakers a couple of years ago. Yeah. You just knew going into that it was not going to end well.
Yeah, you just knew that Jimmy was outmanned in that one. So, like, I mean, you can't underestimate Jimmy, but you knew that he didn't. Those guys were young, and you know, it's kind of speaking of that, actually, like. Duncan Robinson, he just disappeared this – like, where is that man gone? That man's on, like, a $90 million contract or something, and he didn't even play this year.
Yeah, we talked about that on the last one. 4 years, $90 million, and I think, yeah.
Wasn't he hurt?
No. His stat – I mean, he was – Cole, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this later. You know, players like Derek White, and even we saw Steph Curry get singled out in this game defensively, where Boston would go on runs, 8-0, 10-0, 12-0 runs, because they're just singling out – you know, individual defenders to go out on these switch and pick and rolls. You know, he fit into that same scheme, the same reason that we didn't see Tyler Hero, but I mean, for what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in that game seven?
Yeah, and exactly kind of like what you were just talking about. I think that's where Boston's made a lot of strides. Why they brought back Al Horford, because he can stretch the floor, unlike Grant Williams, and also Marcus Smart being able to actually consistently knock that three down this year. He has really stepped into that role, and so it's able – Boston, they were keeping with the Warriors. You know, the Warriors started out hitting tonight, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Celtics were like, hey, we can do this just as well. So
it is cool to see Marcus take that step forward, because he's always been known as the defensive, you know, not the offensive player, and he's just taking a stride.
Imagine
you guys know he's 32 now?
That's insane. Imagine trying to because we've all played basketball before. You know, we've all been on the basketball court and dribbled around. Imagine like actually trying, starting at the 3-point line, Marcus Smart's in front of you. You have to try and shoot a layup.
Yeah, he's gonna shut you down.
It's impossible. I mean, he might shut you guys down. You know, I'm pretty shifty.
Josh, I saw a lineman video today. It was a recruit. I think he's going to Georgia. It looked like the offensive lineman that he absolutely embarrassed in this practice in front of all these scouts looked exactly like you.
Well, that definitely wouldn't have happened. I would have held my own.
The question I wanted to pose here, we saw the Celtics, they shot 21 of 41 from threes tonight. And I was going to bring this up a little bit later in the pod, but might as well ask it now since it's relevant. Since we just compared them to previous champions and previous teams that, you know, went to the finals, is this game one win pretty similar? I mean, not pretty similar, but I mean, does it compare to the 2012 finals where the Thunder won game one?
I don't think so. I think that what you're seeing right now really is the Warriors are running into a problem of Klay's not fully back and Jordan Poole is having to grow up. And Jordan Poole is getting exposed right now in the playoffs as someone who was not ready. He knew what the regular season was like, but he's not ready for the playoffs. That first round, the one that they had against Utah, okay, you're playing Utah, you know? Like, I mean, we all know that Utah, they're one of those teams that their record's great every year, and then they just fade away into the night. Like, they never do consistently keep with it. I think that Jordan Poole needs to grow up. And he's going to either need a 9 points is not going to cut it.
Well, I mean, we obviously saw Otto Porter tonight. I mean, he lit it up. I think we're going to see him get a lot more minutes moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Poole's minutes became a little bit less. I mean, because of go back to what I was just talking about earlier. I mean, he's being hunted sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, I think that Cole hit it pretty much on the head right there. Is this Golden State team, they still have to figure out these pieces. But the thing that you just can't underestimate and why I think that, Kyle, you might be onto something, is that Stephen Curry is just so good at basketball that he makes up for a lot of the Jordan Poole deficiencies. And this team overall is very good at basketball. So I think that you'll see the Warriors come out in game two and start the exact same way, and they'll go on the same third quarter run. And there's no team that I'm more scared of. It's the same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs in football. It doesn't matter what point of the game you're in with the Golden State Warriors. You can never count Steph Curry out of the game.
And I don't want it to sound like I'm discrediting the Warriors at all, because, like, the Warriors are – exactly. That's exactly what – I mean, even into the second quarter.
Even like, the third.
If Klay will start hitting, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, Klay's not fully what we – back in the day, like, Klay and Steph were the two that just fueled it. They'd hit that third quarter stretch, and they would just – it was over, you know. Steph's by himself right now, kind of, with that, you know, overwhelming star power. And
seems like less fast breaks, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say yes and no. In that Dallas series, there were a few games where Klay Thompson was very clutch in the third quarter, and he would score most of, if not all of his points in the third quarter multiple times.
But do you think that Steve Kerr has been, like, limiting him with, like, his minutes and everything because he doesn't feel like Klay's, like, fully back? Because I have no doubt, like, Klay's ability is there. Like, Klay Thompson's one of my favorite players. Like, I think the ability is still there. I'm just curious if Steve Kerr is just, for some reason, like, limiting his minutes for some reason. Because it's not comparable to Steph. And he used to run with Steph every time Steph was on the court.
I'm going to talk a lot more about Mark Jones later on in this podcast. I've got a lot to say about that's his name, right? Mark Jackson. I've got a lot to say about him. One thing I agreed with him that he said, surprisingly, is that, you know, Klay's back, but offensively he's back, but is he fully back to being that lockdown defender? And that's obviously still not the question that needs to be answered, you know what I mean? And I think that's the question that needs to be answered in Steve Kerr's mind as well. And there's so many, and, you know, if he can't do it, well, shit, let me try Jordan Poole. Let me try Otto Porter.
I mean, I think more to Cole's, you know, to Cole's point there is more of, I think you're right, Cole. I think that there's going to be at least a little bit of minute restriction. I haven't looked to see what the number count has been for Klay, but he's definitely not being used as much as Steph. And a lot of that's probably just the long-term concern for Klay, wanting him to be able to be fully back, you know, next year and all the way down the road. But I do think that, you know, when he's in the game, he's impactful.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, one thing I wanted, I mean, of course, we have to talk about that historic first quarter that Steph Curry had, hitting six. I mean, I think he was 6 of 7, 6 of 8 for threes in the first quarter. In the first quarter is what he did. It was ridiculous. I mean, of course, he only made one more through the rest of the game. So, you know, could have been a historic night, but turned out not to be. And I just want to give I made this tweet too. The Boston Celtics, the reason they won this game is they weathered the storm in the third quarter. They knew, hey, one of these quarters, the Warriors are going to come out and bombshell us. They're going to come out and they're going to make everything. They're going to get some turnovers where they're going to go on multiple runs. Let's just keep it sustainable. Let's put up 24 points on the board in the third quarter, which is the lowest amount of points they scored in a quarter, and then double that the next quarter and score 40.
I think that what I'm not concerned about it because I have been a hater on Steve Kerr since the day he got the job, because I feel like he stole the team from Mark Jackson, basically. But Ime Udoka, for the first time, I saw Steve Kerr's lineups not have an answer for what the opposite team had. Ime Udoka had a versatile, bigger team that could still compete at the, you know, go stride for stride with the Warriors. Al Horford stepped up huge, and that was really kind of the game changer to me.
Robert Williams.
I told that to Kyler before the show started. I said Al Horford is the reason that that Boston Celtics are doing what they did. I mean, they were he was a key in this in the previous series against the Heat. I mean, Al Horford has shown up big in the playoffs.
Huge.
Robert Williams the same way. I mean, Grant Williams, I think he's going to get played off the court a little bit more because his inability to shoot, his inability to knock down the long range jumper. But man, I tell you, Robert Williams. I'm sorry. I think his shot blocking ability and his ability to impact anybody getting inside the lane, especially Draymond around the rim, I think it's really going to be a deterrent moving forward. One person I wanted to talk about was Derek White. 32 minutes tonight, 21 points. I mean, how impressive was he?
Really underestimated Derek White on this one. He was actually one of my question marks on my parlay tonight. I did not want to pick the Derek White for a three, but he's hit one consistently throughout the whole playoffs. He's had at least one in every game, I believe. And so I put that on the ticket. What I forgot and underestimated was a Spurs championship pedigree. I forgot that they teach those dudes when the light is the brightest, they shine the brightest. And that is exactly what Derek White did tonight. And I completely undervalued that tonight whenever I was thinking about it and evaluating it.
So did your parlay hit or did it not?
Hey, we missed it by Jason Tatum 3 and a Draymond assist. So we needed a Draymond for 5.5 or more assist and Jason Tatum to knock down 2 threes, and Jason Tatum went 1 for 7 from 3, I believe. So it was a 24 leg parlay, $10 bet for $1,514, and it was pretty painful watching.
Bad beats. Bad beat Friday.
24 legs, man. It's a long way. But
that would have got you out. You would have posted those betting pages would have posted on Instagram, though. But Derek White, though, I mean, is what I think Derek White is exactly what the Celtics are missing as a whole. I mean, just someone who has the ability to drive the lane on the fast break, penetrate the defense, especially in on the fast break and in the half court. I mean, the Celtics have one or two guys who can do that.
To me, Derek White is a more erratic Dennis, or he is a more under control Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder was a very erratic, not system. Like, Dennis Schroeder reminds me of a.
I hate that guy.
I feel like he's a shot creator, you know, like he creates his own shot and everything. Dude. Where Derek White is a very systematic, you know, Spurs type of player that fits perfectly within what Boston needed from that. Guy who plays 22 to 28 minutes, and
Dennis Schroeder goes overseas, he becomes probably one of the biggest superstars ever.
I like Dennis Schroeder, but yeah, he did not fit well in Boston.
No, not
gentlemen,
at all.
I hate to have to do this to us, but I have to get off of here. I've got to pick up my wife from the airport. She's just Will's touchdown. So a couple things that I wanted to hit before I get off this podcast. And I will leave you all to talk about them more in depth. So I'm going to jump a little bit here. The one thing NBA related is, what are your guys' thoughts? And obviously, I'll, you know, like the radio, I'll take these off the air. I'll just let you guys answer them after I leave. But what is the thought on – oh, my lights went out. What are the thought on these NBA players getting the radio contract – or not radio contracts, getting the NBA –
showing up as guest appearances, doing that.
What is your thoughts? And then it was great to see
Fitzpatrick. I couldn't hear you there.
I believe he said, what is our thought processes on NBA players getting these sports analyst jobs on these shows, and how well do we feel like they're doing in their roles?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. And then the other things that I wanted to hit before I got off of here was it's great to see Fitzmagic and Frank Gore retiring on the same day. Frank Gore getting that contract with the 49ers and retiring out with them. I think that's incredible. Question I have there is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? And if yes, is he a first ballot? So with all of that, I will let you boys take the rest of the show. Y'all have a fantastic time, and I hope I didn't burst your bubble.
Cole, go ahead and pick that Frank Gore Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. First ballot.
I don't think he's a first ballot.
Third all time.
What sucks is, like, Frank Gore, when he was young, if he would have stayed the course of what he did for that like 5 to 6 year run, I mean, it's 5 to 6 years as a running back. That's pretty good time. But like, if he would have stayed the course of doing that, like an Adrian Peterson type, you know, like 10 years of doing that, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, like this dude stayed in, remaining healthy, doing that long. Like his is straight up just like toughness, and attrition didn't get to him as bad as it did to everybody else. Like he needed football and he wanted to play football and everything. So like, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer because of all the accolades that he's collected and the fact that he's had the toughness to stay with it and be healthy enough and all of those things to actually be a contributing to accrue the factor. Yards
and accrue the stats.
And to actually be able to be a contributing factor to teams, you know, like some dudes just sit on the rock. Yeah, like I think that you're a Hall of Famer for that if you've done all of those things and you're third all time on the rushing list. I don't feel like you're a first ballot though, because I mean, other than that, like just sticking around for a long time. You know, I don't really have anything for Frank Gore. Like, you know,
I gotcha. So let's answer his first question real quick. NBA or former sports analysts or former sports players becoming analysts. I mean, not even superstars coming. So we see Kendrick Perkins is probably the face of that right now. The one that comes to my mind is JJ Redick, because I just watched him on Bustin' with the Boys, which is Will Compton and Taylor Lewan's podcast. Yeah. The guys who bring intelligent homework to their arguments, I really respect. The analysts who get up there because they have a name and spout out hot takes, I can't even listen to it.
I do feel like there are a lot of people who get jobs that just strictly based off of who they were. There's a lot of people though. Lewis Riddick is a underrated
dude,
amazing analyst who
he should be a GM.
He needs to be, he knows everything there is about football. I'm not even an owner and I've only listened to the man on TV. I would hand that man the keys to a franchise tomorrow. Like, He is a very, very well-spoken, can present his information and all of that very well.
That said, why isn't he a GM?
I mean, it just depends on what the situations are. I mean, everything's a who you know game. I mean, people, it's the reason why Belichick, all of Belichick's people get jobs. You can't tell me that, you know, Joe Judge was a great fit in New York. Like, all of those people,
the Washington coaching tree, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's one of those things that's just like, it's a who you know business, and it's how the whole world is. It's what I would explain to anybody going into college. It's what I would explain to anyone in life. Like, I would tell people, you know, it's, you know, they always say, I always heard the saying, it's not about the grades you make, but the hands you shake. And like, that almost is true. Like, your grades do get you a job coming straight out of college. You need to make above a 3, but it's a lot about the networking and the hands that you shake that really can, you know, bridge those gaps and put you in the places that you need to be. So I don't know what it's like for Lewis Riddick on that side, but I do think that eventually he will have his time. But to answer that question, you know, honestly, like I feel like there's a lot of people who have attributed, you know, productively, because there's one thing that you can't speak to is a lot of people who speak out the sides of their mouths, they never played it. They never experienced those things. They never, you know, there's a lot of things that I know about football, but I've never actually put on a helmet and gone out there and played it down in my life. I could tell you anything you want to know about football, but I've never actually experienced that. And that's where, you know, I feel I miss that element. So I ask and I defer that to the people that I do know have played. I do know that have played at a high level. D1 athletes that I met here at OSU or other places and avenues of people I've met that were on practice squads for NFL teams. So just all of those sorts of things that they bring an aspect of.
I think the best example of that would actually be the UFC and be with Daniel Cormier, especially Joe Rogan there, Dominic Cruz there on the commentary team, Michael Bisping, all former world champions, all you know, experience in that world in fighting in the cage for world championships. So having that knowledge to be able to equip the listener and the viewer, I think that really helps. But you know, then you get your Stephen A. Smiths in there, and
I've really lost a lot of Stephen A. Smith. Used to be one of my favorite people to watch when I was younger. But I have lost a lot of respect for ESPN as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, for other reasons aside, but they ever since they've kind of sold off.
It's unwatchable, whole, man.
It everything is unwatchable because of, you know, you can say what you want. It's there's a lot of other factors outside of sports that is why they've, you know, really fallen off to me personally. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, though, I really feel like there's just an element. It's why a lot of these quarterbacks end up getting these analyst jobs. It's what Romo came out and everybody was so fascinated with and why Romo got that huge deal immediately, because he was telling you plays before and everyone was like, wow, like he dissected that right before it ever even snapped. So really awesome.
What do you think about which booth was I just going to talk about? Aikman and Joe Buck. How do you think that's going to go?
I've always been a huge Joe Buck fan and Troy Aikman fan. I don't really know what the Joe Buck hate and slander is about. Like a
no,
lot
I
of
love
people.
Joe Buck. I've never much been a fan of Aikman.
I think it's because they've called so many Packers games. You know, it's if they're not calling a Cowboys game, they're calling the Packers game. So I've watched them a lot, and a lot of my memories are tied to Joe Buck going crazy with, you know, Rodgers to Cobb to win the NFC North when Rodgers had came back from his broken collarbone. They called the Super Bowl that we won. You know, Joe Buck was always tied to all the World Series that I watched as a kid. All of those things. So I think that that's why I'm kind of a homer with them. Excited for them to take over the Monday night thing, because Monday night used to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, it 100%. Used to be something that we looked
game.
It, yeah.
Sunday and then Monday.
And it was something that when you went to school, you were like, ah, Monday Night Football's on tonight. I'm not a huge fan of Thursday Night Football. I can honestly tell you, I haven't watched but probably 3 Thursday Night Football games in the last 5 years. I just
like,
don't
like
them.
Full games or just like?
Full games. Like, okay, yeah. Just sit there and watch them. Like,
I don't think I may not have ever done that, but it's always been on. Speaking of Thursday nights, and you know, your boy, I should say our boy McAfee, you know, there's been rumors that he's going to somewhat like the Manning cast. They're going to do something like that with him on Amazon. I don't even know if, you know, more news has come out about that, you know, or any more rumors, but do you think Amazon would do something like that on their first year?
I think no matter what Amazon does, it's going to strike gold, because Amazon's so big and they're such a huge, you know, influencer, that they control the narrative of what is happening, you know. So, like, and they have the money to make it great. So, whatever, Pat, I am sure, and I have no doubt about this, and I would have no problem with this clip going to Pat. Seeing how Pat is and knowing who Pat is from watching him for the last 3 years, all he cares about is the quality of work. He does not care. I mean, he's going to be compensated for what he does, of course. But who's not? But he wants to produce some quality content and quality work. He's not going to put something out there that he doesn't feel like. He's not going to do it for a paycheck. So I have confidence in whatever they're putting together, whatever up to coming season is about, whatever they're scheming up, that it's going to be impeccable. I'm honestly not even a big fan of the Manning cast, to be honest, but I would sit there and watch Pat McAfee all day long. So.
Yeah, I think in a platform like Amazon, the Manning cast would flourish, because there's no goddamn commercial breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro, if there weren't commercial breaks, the Manning cast would be fantastic.
And I think one of the things, though, that like is so special about the McAfee show in general is really it gives you that you're sitting around in high school talking with your best friends feel to it. They do not, you know, they don't filter themselves. They're not letting any big network dictate what they're going to do. And I think that that's one thing with Pat that he's going to carry as well. I'm very curious, though, how Pat will have a show and not, because I'm going to assume that Amazon's not going to allow him to cuss or anything like that. And crazy. I bet you that's one of the biggest obstacles for Pat,
unless,
because Pat's not big on, you know,
unless they let him live stream the game on his own YouTube.
Maybe. We'll see. I have a feeling that what they're going to do is put it on their front page of their Amazon Prime, but it's all speculation.
You never answered my first question I asked when I opened up the pod. What's your favorite major sports league championship?
I mean, honestly, these 7-game series, they're the they're the fun ones to me. I love playoff baseball. Yeah. I really do. I think playoff baseball is underrated. I think a lot of people don't understand the art of baseball. I'm not a huge hockey guy, man. I've tried so hard to get into hockey. Like, I have tried. Like, I've watched it. I think that it's awesome that they fight and let them fight and everything and, like, the roles. But I just didn't grow up understanding the roles and the nuances of everything, you know? A lot of people don't understand the little things in baseball that's going on. And so that's where they miss the art. I'm sure I'm missing the art of hockey. But basketball as well, if you get a great series with two dudes that are just going back and forth at it, kind of like Jason Tatum and Giannis were back two rounds ago.
Really, what we just saw with both these teams going back and forth for three quarters.
It was a lot of fun tonight watching just both of the teams do it. But, you know, when you've got two dominant players, I remember watching a young Dwayne Wade come back against the Mavericks and Dirk, you know, trying to answer him. But Dwayne Wade was just on a mission. And they ended up winning that series 4-2 after going down 0-2. So those are the fun ones to me.
Have you watched Stranger Things?
I have not. I'm a real big person on waiting until TV series are over with because I can't stand the breaks in between.
So I've started. I'm about halfway through season three right now, I think. I think season four just dropped.
Is it as weird as it looks?
It's getting a lot weirder, and I heard season four was, like, scary.
See, and I'm not a big horror film guy, man. Like, I can do blood and guts. I can't do the thing where, like, they're there and then they're not.
Oh,
or they're not there and then they're there.
Okay, well, you might not like the show. Some headlines before we get into a little more talk. Did you see the obviously you saw it, but I mean, the fantasy football drama between Jock Peterson, who has, I mean, some of the nicest flow in baseball, always got the pearls on. I mean, he's and I forget who pointed this out in their pod, but the way he strolled up to that interview, couldn't give two shits about what his hair looked like, just flopped his hat on his head and talked literally as slow as human possible. Cole, that was a 5.5 minute explanation.
Have you ever seen all of the other baseball players, man? I don't think any of them care about what their hair looks like. They all have mullets growing and everything. But, I mean, this whole drama, I mean, I get it being invested in your fantasy football league and everything, but I think this is getting taken a little too far, and it seems like FOM is just taking this way out of context. But
I mean, and again, I told Josh this a little bit earlier before we were recording. Josh in this situation is Mike Trout, because everyone is saying Mike Trout is the worst commissioner. It's Mike Trout's fault. And then Mike Trout comes out and says, no, it's not my fault. I'm a great commissioner. And that's a quote, and that's something I've heard Josh say. So let's just leave it there. Here's something I heard today: Butterbean versus Jake Paul.
I'm getting tired of these fights, man. I think
Butterbean.
How old is Butterbean? Wasn't he like really popular when I was like five?
Remember when he hit Johnny Knoxville and he smacked his head on that in that China shop? Oh my God.
How old is he, though? Like, he's got to be, you know, old, right?
Put him in there three rounds against Jake Paul, and we're ending his career.
Well, that's not, Jake Paul's going to, well, I don't know, maybe not. Who knows?
See, you don't know. Sign us up.
Just get this stuff over with. I can't stand it.
The Lakers hired Darvin Ham. How you feel about that?
Man, like, this is where I've really, like, grown to – I used to be a very big LeBron James fan, and I still have respect for the man just for the simple fact that you've never heard anything, like, absolutely, like, he's never been involved in scandals. For having the spotlight on you from the time you were 14, we've all messed up as humans. From having the spotlight on you for that long, more than half of your life, and you've never been involved in anything ridiculous, like, I have the utmost respect for that. Do I agree with anything that LeBron basically says in this day and age? No, because he's an absolute idiot who does not educate himself on topics that he talks about, in my opinion. But with that being said, I feel as though late in his career, he has, like, developed this sense of he's bigger than the organization. And when you're on the Lakers,
he became a billionaire today.
He did become a billionaire. But the Lakers are worth $20
billion. Saying that's why he thinks he is.
Exactly. I mean, I get it. But, like, you're not bigger than the Lakers. Like, he does not the way he acted, you know, God rest his soul, in during the Kobe Bryant thing, it really, I don't know. And, you know, he knew Kobe way better than I did. And he played on teams with him, the Olympic team. So maybe there was more to that relationship. But I felt like he tried to make it almost about himself whenever he spoke at that, you know, thing after that and everything. Like, LeBron got Darvin Ham because that was the guy he wants. And I feel like someone needs to hold him and that team accountable. Like, that was – I don't feel like Russell Westbrook was the problem. Like, I feel like, you know, like, but whatever.
I mean, Russell Westbrook was the only star player on that team that played more than – I mean, what did LeBron play, 40 games?
No, he played more than that. He played – I think he played 60-something. But and, you know, LeBron played amazing this year. Like, sure. It's like I said the other – on our last podcast, like, LeBron has been the MVP for the last 15 years. But, you know, you can't give the MVP to him every year.
Exactly.
So there's been other players, you know, Steph's year that he went off and everything and he changed the game. Yeah, I get it. It's all who can generate the most hype. And, you know, so that's – I really think that the league's in for it to grow the league even more overseas. That's why Nikola Jokic has won the MVP the last 2 years. Nice. I 100% believe that. Like, and I think Luka's probably going to win it next year.
Absolutely, yeah. In a dark horse of that,
yes, I would put very good money that Luka wins the MVP next year.
I've got a dark horse for you here, SGA.
Really? You think the Thunder are going to be that good that he can get himself into the MVP talk?
If they're a 5 seed and he averages 28-8-8,
I can see it.
There we go. Last thing I want to talk about. And I'm not sure how much. Actually, I have two things I want to talk about before we get into a little more. NBA breakdown game 2, things like that. Live golf. How aware are you with the Live golf?
I'm a little aware of it. It's basically, from my understanding, it's just a new professional circuit that's basically surfaced that is allowing players more of the cut of the pie, right?
That is true. What you left out there is that it is completely funded by the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund. Right. Which is code word for the Saudis stealing money from all their peoples because they want nice golf tournaments and nice players in their country. But notably, the PGA has come out and drawn a line in that sand saying if you play in live golf tournaments, you will face fines, suspensions, possibly bans from the PGA Tour indefinitely. Once the inaugural tournament in London next week was announced, once the field was announced, I should say, DJ Dustin Johnson, I mean, one of the most famous players in the world, was in it. That was a shocker. Sergio Garcia, Kevin Na, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood. I mean, these are just to name a few. They're all confirmed for next week. This is a little bit of a shocker for the PGA Tour. And I will add the caveat that DJ signed a deal worth well over $100 billion with LIV Golf today.
$100 million or $100 billion?
$100 million.
$100 million.
I think it was $130 million.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that, dude, it goes right back to what I was just talking about, though. Like, they want a larger piece of the pie. Something I wasn't aware of is these guys actually pay for their own travel, own housing, everything. Like, the PGA does not pay them anything other than if you place or not.
Dude,
so
imagine if you don't place.
Yeah, so you're trying to get sponsorships and everything. So I feel as though there needs to be some sort of players union created. That's what's going to ultimately come about from this. I think there's going to be some sort of players union that comes about within the, you know, that fights for a little bit of like, hey, we need this certain cut. If we've got to cut down on the prize money, then so be it. We need housing. We need all of these things to be, you know, accepted. If you make it onto the tour, then you come into this.
Yeah, I agree with you because, I mean, you do hear a lot of players saying that, you know, they do get, you know, Airbnbs together and, you know, stuff like that when they go to golf tournaments. So something like that, I think, you know, should happen and, you know, very well could happen. But also, a lot of these golf players are rich and these purses are huge.
Yes.
And I did bet on Max Homan to win this weekend and he's looking great. Three under so far. So hopefully he continues to play well. Here's the last headline I wanted to talk about. Mike the Situation. He competed, dominated, and walked away with some hardware this weekend on ESPN at the ACL, the American Corn League Championship, where apparently he is an experienced bag thrower. Not his first competition, Cole. And like I said, just like Snooki at that bar, I mean, the situation knocked everyone else out of the competition. He dominated.
Hey, man, he must have learned it in prison. Dude, I guess that's what he chilled. He must have chilled out for 2 years and was just throwing bags.
Throwing a lot of bags, hopefully. But, man, I'm telling you, his form was incredible. The guy who was playing with was great.
I like cornhole?
No.
You don't like cornhole, man?
No. I turned it on, and I was like, is that fucking the situation? And then, man, like, it was right at the end. I love – do you love Jersey Shore?
Jersey Shore was actually really fun when I was, a young teenager to watch. Me too. I was a big Ronnie fan just because he'd come in throwing beds around. He was very, like, there was a lot of, like, verbal abuse that, you know, is not cool. But, you know, he would just chunk those beds, and I was like, man, he's strong. But
him and Sam would go at it. I'll ride with Vinny till the day I die.
Oh, yeah. You know he's a Chippendale in Las Vegas now?
He's a Chippendale?
He's a stripper, man. Vinny's a stripper in Las Vegas.
Huh.
Paulie's he's a DJ in Las Vegas.
Well, Paulie makes do you know how much money Paulie makes?
Yeah, Paulie makes a lot of money, yeah.
All right, let's get back. Do you got any more funny headlines? Could we talk about some actual fucking sports?
Let's get into the sports, dude.
Honest question. Celtics had the same record as the Mavs.
Right.
Who do you have that's the first round series?
Celtics.
Okay.
I think that the Mavs are facing the exact same. One, Jason Kidd does not know how to coach lineups to save his life. Reggie Bullock should never be in your starting lineup. He should never play 42 minutes, and he should never have 0 points after 42 minutes played. Spencer Dinwiddie, who you traded for, who looked like a up-and-coming superstar along D'Angelo Russell back whenever they were in Brooklyn, but just hasn't gotten the opportunities because Brooklyn kind of shattered him whenever KD came and Kyrie came. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie should have been playing 35. He could be a number two, in my opinion. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is a very good player. He's good on defense. He's good on offense. But I think that they have some growing pains to get over.
And do you think Jason Kidd is a part of that plan?
Yeah. I think he got to the Western Conference Finals. They're going to allow him to continue. I think, though, that if they got bounced next year in the first round, Mark Cuban would be asking some questions.
Okay.
But Rick Carlisle got 10 years, dude. I mean,
yeah. 10 years. That's a little crazy. So this was the third time the Warriors and the Celtics had met the season. Of course, back in December, the Warriors won by 4. And, you know, it was a good game, but the Celtics held the Warriors to 14 third quarter points. That's kind of what did them in. Wiggins had 27 points in that game. Curry had 30. No Clay, no Poole. So, you know, take that with what you will. Then they played back in March. The Celtics won 110-88. Notably, Tatum and Brown were 15-37 in that game. Both had 26 points.
If I'm the Celtics, it's very promising tonight of the simple fact that my whole team showed up except for Jason Tatum. So, you know, if you're Ime Udoka, you're going into practice tomorrow, you're pulling Jason Tatum aside and you're talking to him saying, listen, I don't want you to get hesitant. I don't want you keep shooting. This is why you're considered a top five player in the league right now.
I hope he only says that to Jason.
Exactly. No one else needs to be talked to. Everybody else needs to stay doing what they're doing, do exactly what they did in game one. And if Jason Tatum will come in and actually hit any of his shots instead of shooting 15% from the field, the Celtics could run away with the series, because I think that the Warriors are really struggling with they're going to struggle with their lineups, and Steve Kerr is going to – I don't think Steve Kerr is going to have an answer. I don't think he's a good coach.
Well, and again, it's not like now you're discrediting the Warriors, but it's not like you were discrediting the Warriors before. Like you said earlier, because, I mean, they shot 42% from three. They shot 45% from the field. I mean, they 11 and 15 from three, those could be a little bit better, obviously. But, I mean, they out-rebounded the Celtics. They had – obviously, they didn't have as many assists. They had less turnovers. There are two more turnovers, I guess. So, I mean
– listen, I don't want to speak badly about the Warriors. They're a great team. I just feel like – right now, with the current state of the Warriors, your number two is not solidified. You've had this death lineup that's a whole lineup that was flourishing, doing amazing. And now you need an answer for who is going to be that second star that answers, you know, because like it's like anything, you know, when big threes are made, there's always that third guy who has to kind of let the other two go and be the guys, you know. And it's the same thing that when the Heat happened, you know, LeBron and D-Wade were the two guys who went. Chris Bosh took a step back and figured out his role for that team, and they won two championships. You know, all of those big threes like that happen.
Yeah.
And perhaps you need that second superstar now. Someone needs to step into that second role for the Warriors.
Or at least step in, or at least to have, you know, a couple of role players step up, you know, because it used to be that Andre Iguodala, and that's how he won a fucking Finals MVP. Exactly. So, I mean, if, you know, I still don't understand. I get why they're playing him. I get why he's on the team. He's a valuable asset. At this point, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga play just as much just as much of an impact out there.
Yeah, you're just – what you're trying to do, though, in that situation, in my opinion, is you're trying to eliminate mistakes. You just don't – you're trying to eliminate any mental errors that they might be feeling, because no matter what, when you take the court or you take – you know, I remember the first time I went and teed off on the tee box at State for golf. My knees were clattering, dude. Yeah, like,
couldn't put the ball on the tee.
I actually birdied the first hole that I ever was in, but in State. But I was so nervous, man. And, you know, like, you just don't want those lapses in judgment. You, someone who's been there, done that. I understand the thought process of putting Andre Iguodala, but he's not producing offensively for you.
And he wasn't 2 years ago either.
And when Steph went cold tonight, they had no answer. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. And Steph, it's not like Steph went cold. Like, he just wasn't able to get his shots, you know, that he was getting originally in the beginning of the game.
And that's what Redick was getting killed for on First Take when he said he'd take Luke over Steph. And I was like, well, at least Luke can get a fucking shot off.
Well, it's, you know, Steph's so slippery, and he's always gone around those screens and everything that he's always able to get open, because if he's not open, he always dishes to get someone open. You know, because they're having a crash on him or something like that. With Luka just puts his head down and uses his body. He's way bigger than he looks. Like, I had never realized how big he was until I watched him this playoffs. He is, like, his body mass is huge.
Dude, I think it was you, right, that compared to that LeBron strength. That, I mean, we started this year earlier in LeBron. That, I mean, that's the perfect comparison. I haven't heard a better comparison since then. Go ahead.
Well, last thing I want to say about Luka is just like the whole Luka thing. I had mentioned it as well. Like, what he's best at is being able to adjust his shot. It's like his upper body is not connected to his legs.
Yeah.
He can adjust his shot and slow it down to where it doesn't bounce off the back.
That's beautiful. Let's talk about the announcers. Unless you got any more to talk about the game.
No, I'm good.
Mark Jones, is that his name?
Mark Jackson.
No, the other dude.
No, I don't know.
His last name is Jones.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Jeff Van Gundy was out tonight because of COVID.
Yeah, did you hear him in game 7 of the Celtics?
I knew he had COVID.
Very obvious that he had COVID.
I was like, dude, this man has COVID. And then Kevin Harlan got it as well now.
Dude, I mean, it was very, very – yes, Mark Jones is the commentator's name. So we had two Marks in the call tonight. Mark Jones, the play-by-play guy. He says packed a lot. I hadn't heard that since junior high. I enjoyed that. And he, at one point, he also called out when Kerr called floppy, which is, you know, obviously the pin down screens on each side where Clay and or whoever the two shooters are, you know, come off the pin down screens up to the wing. I enjoy when commentators call that out, and rarely do Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen do that. So I enjoyed that. Mark Jackson is horrible at his job and doesn't understand sarcasm.
You don't like Mark Jackson?
He is very, very bad at commentating.
I love me some Mark Jackson.
Are you serious?
I'm a huge Mark Jackson guy. I feel like he brings that old school tenacity, man. He's just that no-nonsense kind of guy, man. Like, he's my like old school like guy. I respect him. And I just feel like he's been treated so wrong. Like, he never
drunk.
He never got his titles with the Pacers. He was about to get on with the Warriors, and he never got his rings with the Warriors. And for someone who was a contributor to basketball like Mark Jackson, and you know, I feel like he deserves rings.
No doubt about that.
It's kind of the same thing. Mark Jackson guy.
Who is the football? It's gonna be the same thing about Drew Brees. We love Drew Brees. I mean, we're not going to diminish his legacy.
Yeah,
he's just, you know, might not be as good on TV.
I mean, yeah, I feel you on that. The thing Josh brought up earlier about, you know, Mark Jackson was a Pacer, and he was on Reggie Miller's teams back in the day and Jalen Rose's. But the thing Josh brought up about sports, some guys going into sports commentating, it's a real thing, you know, but they're looking for that guy who can, you know, put you in that situation and kind of paint the picture for you. Because if you get some dude that graduated from Harvard that was a sports journalist from Harvard that's, you know, calling it, and he's trying to explain it to you, he's never done it. He's not going to be able to fully encapsulate you, like, what you're trying to do. No. When you got Kevin Harlan going bang, that's what, you know, like, all you're expecting from those kind of guys, you know?
Mike Breen says bang.
Huh?
Mike Breen says bang.
Is it Mike Breen that says bang?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. He missed tonight. Because I made that tweet, because when Horford made that three that put him up two, man, that's when we really needed it. I was almost looking forward. Obviously not, because I was going to see if Mark Jones was going to say it, but he didn't. Now, you know, but nobody said, man, we really missed that one tonight.
Yeah,
we really did. One more question I had for you. Let me pull it up here. Okay, so ESPN BPI. I mean, a lot of people made a fuss about this when this graphic came out. Says before game one. So the Celtics have an 86% chance to win the title.
Yep. So that's a power index, and basically it's like a power BI, and those are power indexes that take into effect all analytics across of whatever the topic is that you're taking into place. So, you know, these are used in corporate settings all the time. That actually takes into account defensive high efficiencies, you know, intangibles, field goal percentages, everything that you can think of, usage percentages, anything that applies to a player, their height, their weight, their, you know, how they've performed in the third quarter. It takes all those things into effect, and then it spits out a number to tell you the success rate. It's saying that the Celtics win 86% of the time whenever they put all of that through a filter. So, which makes sense, honestly, because you saw it tonight, how they match up. They're much bigger than everybody. Absolutely. They're bigger. Like, Marcus Smart creates that where they're bigger than everybody, in my opinion, because, like, you know, he's bigger than most all point guards, and he can handle power forwards.
So, which is also why we saw a lot of Derek White minutes tonight, just to handle the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting to watch move forward. And I appreciate you breaking down that BPI for me, because I had no idea what metrics they were using there. I was confused on that, as a lot of people were, but it turns out maybe ESPN's right about some stuff. I listened back to the December episode, just a little bit of it, for some Celtic slander. Just, you know, this was around the time they were 14-15, I think is what the record was. Here's a quote that I said, and it wasn't right. You know, I found some slander that Josh said, but we'll not get into that. I said that Marcus Smart may have the loudest voice over there, including the coach.
I agree with that. Marcus Smart is the Draymond Green of that team.
Okay. How do you feel about that? I do feel like that. I felt like that at the time. I think Udoka
Udoka.
I think he has a lot more say and a lot more power, a lot more respect, I should say, now than he did then.
I don't think that there's a difference, man. Like, I mean, everyone respects the head coach, but when you have a players only meeting, there's always that guy. And we were talking about this in the last series, actually. Who's going to be that guy for, you know, we were talking about the Nets, and we got off on that tangent about the Nets. Who's going to be that guy for the Nets? Nobody respects Kevin Durant. They respect him as a player because he's one of the best players walking the, you know, the face of the earth. Nobody respects him as a, you know, as a leader. And so, you know, he's done nothing but ran from all of his teams. Like, I mean, when you're in team hopping and everything, nobody respects Kyrie as a leader. So who's going to be that leader? Everyone respects Draymond Green as that leader. They'll get behind him and follow him. Might not be the best, but they'll follow him. Marcus Smart is that leader.
Not to get up on another tangent, I do agree with you on that Kevin Durant take. Do you think the Nets go this summer and find somebody like that? It's even hard to think of a person like that right now.
They're not going to be able to find one because Kevin Durant will never let it happen. You saw what he did whenever Draymond tried to tell him what to do.
They won a championship.
They won a championship the first time. What happened in that second one?
He blew out his Achilles.
I mean, he did blow out his Achilles, but yeah. The team was really good. They were really good.
Dude, I think we've talked about it on here before, but, you know, six finals in 8 years, and then, of course, the 2 years they didn't go, they were hurt. I mean, that's the greatest team ever?
No.
It's the greatest. It's one of the greatest really NBA dynasties ever.
I would agree with that. They're one of the best teams ever assembled, in my opinion, yeah. And the fact that you drafted all of them, that's what's really impressive, that you drafted all of them. I love a homegrown team. That's why I've always loved the Celtics and wanted them to do good, because they're homegrown. Yep. They are a homegrown team.
Also, last thing I'll close on, NHL. Have you ever tried betting on NHL?
No, I'm terrible at it.
Fucking impossible, dude. The lines are so confusing. We need somebody on to talk about it, explain it to me, because like it'll be like Pittsburgh minus 2.5 or 1.5, and I'm like, well, they need to win by 2 goals. Like, do you know how fucking fickle hockey is? Like, I have no idea if they're going to win by 2 goals or not.
I am low-key happy that I have to go through all the hurdles I have to go through to place my bets, because I would be a straight-up degenerate gambler if sports betting was legal in Oklahoma. But, you know, hockey is not something I will ever bet on. I just don't know enough about it.
Until that time, we'll have to hope. Sunday is the next game. Sunday, June 5th at 7:00. Who do you got? The line has not come out yet. I'm not sure. Of course, it is at Golden State. Who do you got taking game 2?
Man, after tonight watching the Celtics, I haven't got to fully review the statistics to see what they shot from three. I want to see kind of what the Celtics shot from three.
As a team. Mm-hmm. It was 21 of 41, I believe.
So see, they're shooting 50% from three. I've got to think that they're not going to be able to do that again.
What did they shoot in the fourth quarter? It was like 8 of 9, 8 of 10.
Yeah, exactly. And they dug themselves out of it. But them hanging around, man, I'm really curious. I'm really curious to see if someone's going to step up with the Warriors and be that number two guy. Because if not, the Warriors could be in for a headache. Because if Jason Tatum starts hitting his shot and the Celtics are going to play like they're playing right now,
Might be a surprise.
Yeah.
If you listen to this pod, and if you're a little listening to this pod, then you will hear you're tired of me talking about this. It's a touchdown theory. It's touchdown a quarter theory. It's 25 points a quarter theory. If you score a touchdown a quarter, your winning percentages go way up. If you score 25 points a quarter, your winning percentages go way up. So hey, third quarter, Golden State goes on a run. Let's just make sure we get our 25.
Right. You're hanging around. You weather the storm.
That's what they did. They came back in the fourth quarter, had their own storm, ended up winning the game. And I love it. I love to see that. Love to see my theory come into action, because it doesn't always work.
Yeah, man, that's what it's part about being an analyst.
That's the algorithm. It's a robotic. It's an AI algorithm.
That's the fun thing about our job here, man. We get to just say all the things that we want to say, and we don't really have to, you know, be held accountable for them.
Yeah, and if they do, I mean, shit, what are they gonna do? Other than that, man, I don't have a whole lot. I feel like we're probably forgetting some stuff, but
yeah, with the finals going on right now, it's kind of just nothing but basketball talk. We're not huge hockey fans, so we can't really hit on that. I do think that the Lightning will end up being repeat champions for the third year in a row. But
any NFL news we need to talk about?
Not much, other than the Frank Gore and Ryan Fitzpatrick retiring. But Congratulations to them on excellent careers.
49ers center Alex Mack also retires.
Alex Mack retired, really?
Yes, he did.
I'm a huge Alex Mack fan. He started with the Browns, and then he went to the Falcons, and then now he's a 49er. He came with Kyle Shanahan over from the 49ers, or from the Falcons to the 49ers.
Chiefs, Bienemy on head coaching job. I've got to go get it. So
Eric Bienemy.
Yep, I imagine he'll get a head coach. I imagine he'll take over for old Reed.
Maybe. We've been sitting here saying Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job for the last 4 years, and he hasn't gotten one yet. Exactly. I don't know what the deal is behind that. But
we'll probably give it to his son or something. Anyways, that's pretty much all we got to talk about today. This is the NBA Finals. There's absolutely nothing better to me. I mean, it's the very, very peak of happiness for me when the NBA Finals roll around, especially this year when they got the finals on the court. With the script, just like old times, reminds me.
Man, I was thinking about this earlier. They really have like dumbed down the presentation of the finals. So I feel like we used to have like a spectacle, you know, like of them walking out with the big old trophy on the side, like, you know, like the big fake one, like the big one that was taller than the players.
Inflatable.
Yeah. And then the one, then like them painting the court with the actual Larry O'Brien, like around the logo.
When it was huge.
So dope. Used to be so dope. I don't know why they did away with that, but that was like the coolest thing in the world to me. They did away with it.
When it was that huge Larry O'Brien trophy at midcourt, that was awesome.
That
was like 2010, maybe. Either 08 or 2010, because I know it was Lakers Celtics. Man, I absolutely love that. Now, I'm glad they brought back the finals script.
I miss them having the patch on their jerseys, too, like the little Larry O'Brien patch on their jerseys.
Oh,
they had the actual trophy on their jerseys. Mm-hmm. Thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Exactly.
But now they got it on the back of their neck.
It's like the I did notice on the back of their neck today. I guess I wasn't paying too much attention. It's kind of like the bowl players when they get the bowl patch for whatever game they're playing. I like that a lot. Well, Steve Kerr at the post conference right now. I guess I'll listen in on this. Cole, it's been fun, buddy. Do you have any bets this weekend for some people?
I'll be posting them. Any bets that I do, any parlays, will be posted on my personal Twitter account. If you want to check those out, I have to say I am a pretty damn good bettor. Or a gambler. I'm a little bit of a degenerate when it comes to that stuff. So love it. So much fun.
What's the Twitter?
@JCole_Jackson. So love at it. @JCole_Jackson.
Love it. Bet your entire house on Max Homa. That's what I'll leave you with this weekend. And bet the Celtics money, Celtics +3 on Sunday.
All right, Kyler. I appreciate it, man.
See you, buddy.